Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and we're going to be talking about the Keweenaw National Historical Park in this segment. And from somebody who lives in Lorium and next to Calumet, I get to drive through the park quite a bit, occasionally stop by, always been impressed with what they have, what they've been able to preserve and provide for the public here, you know, after so many years, the condition of the buildings that have been preserved, some of the they call them artifacts, memorabilia, those things that are in the visitor center. And of course, if you're like me and you drive through town, you're going to be passing the Quincy Mine Hoist pretty much on a daily basis. But the Keweenaw National Historical Park is actually much larger than those couple of buildings. And so to kind of delve a little bit deeper into this, I've invited Brian Hodusky from the, he's the Chief of Museum and Archival Services, also the Museum Curator for the park. He joins me now, so let's go ahead and welcome Brian to the program.
Yeah, thank you, Rick. Well, nice to be here.
Thank you. All right, well, yeah, kind of setting that up a little bit, talking about the park itself. It's a big park.
It contains a lot of historic buildings. There's two units, a Calumet unit and a Quincy unit. They were organized around the National Landmark Districts that were created in 1989. Of course, the park really has a local genesis. It was local people who pushed to preserve their history. They thought it was nationally significant. The Park Service did a study and agreed with them, and then Congress acted on that and created the park. Senator Levin and Bob Davis were the principal sponsors in both the House and the Senate. And we had a park in October 1992, so we've been around for a little while now, but we're still young by, of course, Yellowstone standards and some of the other parks in the National Park System, which has, I believe, now 407 units.
Now, for those that have been to the Visitor Center, you have a tremendous video that plays there. Mm-hmm. I know it's Resilience.
Risk and Resilience.
Seen it a couple of times, and one of the quotes in that movie that always struck me was going back a number of years when, around the time that the Italian Hall was demolished, mm-hmm. and people with the thought, well, you know, why don't we just go ahead and knock down all of these buildings and get rid of this history? You know, who would want to come and look at them? I'm right. glad that that decision was not made.
Me too, for many reasons. In large part, the demolition of the Italian Hall is, many people attribute that as the trigger to that created the group to try to save the history of Calumet. And, of course, that got expanded to include the ruins and remaining structures from the Quincy Mining Company operation on Quincy Hill. But it really started with Calumet and the raising of the Italian Hall.
Now, we live in an area that draws in a lot of tourists. And so while they're here, I'm sure they stop and see sites at the Keweenaw National Historical Park. And what is their response when they come through?
Well, most don't know Keweenaw National Historical Park is here. They're on their way to Copper Harbor and, recreational pursuits, beaches and hiking and cross-country skiing or whatever it is they're doing. But they see our signs and they stop in. And they're generally surprised by the history of this area. A lot of people aren't aware of the role the Keweenaw had in our industrial development as a country.
It's not something that's thoroughly taught. I went to school downstate, and there was, you know, very little about the Upper Peninsula. You think of it as a, or they teach it as something as a lot of natural resources up here, but then not a lot of people, and certainly, you know, not a lot of history to go on. And then when I came up here and was amazed that every time I turned around, there was, you know, so much rich history, the pride of the people that lived here. Downstate, there's a park called Greenfield Village where they take old buildings that, you know, like that Edison worked in, Thomas Edison, and they've moved them and collected them into this neighborhood. Right. When I came up here, I phoned my wife. I said, you know what? It's like going through Greenfield Village every single day. I mean, the buildings that are here are the original buildings from, you know, 100 years ago.
Exactly. That's one of the, you know, the copper mining industry went into kind of a downturn here starting in the 1920s. And consequently, The company didn't tear down its old buildings and build new ones. They were a marginal, business. The profits were marginal. So they made what they had last, which was, in essence, a good thing because, now we have these terrific examples of these mine company office buildings and other public buildings and their industrial buildings that survived from the turn of the last century.
The preservation of some of those buildings and some of the cases restoration, I'm really impressed with. There's always the occasional time where you're driving on one of these roads that kind of go away from 41 or even a couple of spots on US 41 where there's just a foundation left and you wonder, I wonder what that was.
Right. Well, within the park units, the park has boundaries, but this park was set up as a partnership park. The idea was not that the government would own everything within those boundaries, that we would work cooperatively with private property owners, with other institutional organizations, the Copper Towns, the Quincy Mine Hoist, etc. So there's 1,800 historic structures, that are qualified for the National Register that are within the boundaries of the park.
That's amazing.
So it is amazing. Of course, a lot of those are residences, but those were built by the company and are very significant to understanding what happened here and how the people who mine that copper worked above ground in support of the underground operations, how they lived.
My house is 100 years old. It's in Loriam. I've seen floor plans of the homes in my area of their original construction and about how, that there wasn't a restroom and the top floor is a two-story building. The top floor had no walls because everybody slept upstairs.
Yeah.
All together, one giant room.
That was not uncommon. A family would build a house and then make extra money by taking boarders in. So there were a lot of boarding houses, and they would oftentimes, these would be immigrant families, and the boarders would be people from their villages back in the old country. These were, in some respects, very extended families that would be, all bunking up in the top floor of these houses.
Now, it probably doesn't happen too often where somebody is from downstate or from another state planning their vacation with their family saying, hey, I got a great idea. Let's go look at some old buildings in Calumet. And then they come out here to spend that time. You catch tourists that come into the area. And also the park is very dependent on people who live here to continue to support it.
Right.
So talk about if you were planning your day or a couple of days and what you really wanted to do was, take advantage of some of this rich local history that we have, where would you start?
Well, I guess it really depends on your interest. I would probably start at the National Park Service's Visitor Center or with our website. The park is more than just the two units. The park is also made up of the Keweenaw Heritage Sites, which string along the Keweenaw Peninsula from Copper Harbor all the way to the Porcupine Mountains. These are official partners of the Park Service and the Park Service's Advisory Commission, the Park's Keweenaw National Historical Park Advisory Commission. They help us tell the story of copper mining here. So it depends on what you like to do. If you like crawling around inside old mines, the Adventure Mine down in Noggin County by... on your way to Rockland, Old Victoria, there's lots to do at the South End. If you like museums, Houghton County, Keweenaw County, Noggin County all have museums. If you are interested in researching genealogy, there are collections at the park, at Michigan Tech, and at Finlandia that are professionally managed, and they'll help you research your families if your family had some time here in the copper country. So there's lots to do. If you stop at the visitor center, there are uniformed rangers behind the desk, and they're well trained in what there is to see and do around here, and they'll help you plan a visit.
And not all these sites, as you mentioned, are directly associated with going into a mine.
No.
You drive up to Copper Harbor and you pass the Phoenix Church, and then there's the one-room schoolhouse up in Copper Harbor. So it's just every kind of, like I said, every time you turn around, there's a building that is you know, in still terrific shape and oftentimes still being used for its function.
Right. Well, you know, Keweenaw County has a lot of sites that Keweenaw County Historical Society manages. The Central Mine, you can see an old miner's house there. The Gay School, the school in Eagle River has a nice museum exhibit in it now, which is also the Township Hall on the first floor. So, you know, they've got things going. You know, Eagle Harbor, the lighthouse and the Coast Guard complex there. The old Coast Guard boathouse has a very nice exhibit in it. So there's a lot. I mean, wherever your interests take you, there's lots to see and do here.
Now, if you have not been to the visitor center, you can get stuck in there for about 3 hours. I think is a pretty good time if you want to go through the multi-level museum that they have there. Just brings you right back. A lot of focus on 1913, but also before that, and also the evolution of the mining and decline of the mining industry as well. Right. Talk about what's available at the visitor center and why that's a good place to start.
Well, the visitor center, as I mentioned, has rangers behind the desk can help you plan your stay, but the exhibits themselves, you know, give you kind of an overview of what happened in Calumet, particularly social history. You can learn about, you know, how the company provided, you know, how their paternalistic management style was. You can learn about what home life was like, all the clubs and organizations people belonged to, you know, from the Odd Fellows to, you know, Italian societies. There's just a wealth of objects to look at and audiovisual programs to watch or listen to, oral history interviews, snippets of those, a very well designed and easy to visit. You can wander around without following any particular path and spend as long or as short a time as you want in each area.
And that's what strikes me about when I go to the visitor center. You have a mining museum. It's across the street. Good place to
go. That's right. And see, that was part of the idea when we designed our visitor center, is with the Coppertown Mining Museum across the street. They were addressing, the technology and the aspects of mining, working for the company, those type of things. So we tried to complement and not compete.
Right. The visitor center talks more about the people and their way of life.
Right.
You know, and so yeah, together they really form you get a great picture of, you know, what it was to not only work, but also to live up here in the Copper Country during
exactly.
that time.
Exactly.
And that's it could get a little hard to put your head around to think of that many people living in the area. And sometimes I wonder, well, where did all those buildings go? Well, a lot of them were made of wood. They're not structures meant to last. But trying to fit, I don't know, I've heard 100,000 people lived in the Keweenaw at the time.
About 100,000. As a matter of fact, Houghton County was the fourth most populous county in the state at one point.
Yeah.
If you can imagine.
I tried to picture 5th Street in Calumet on a Saturday afternoon and just how packed that would be.
How packed it would have been, right.
All right, so you start your day there. You can hit the visitor center and then the Coppertown Mining Museum as well. What about other buildings that maybe don't get as much, I call them press, but you know, like the St. Anne's Church and other buildings that are worth stopping
by. That's a great place to visit. Also, the Keweenaw Heritage Center there in the old St. Anne Church. They have exhibits and they do programs. You know, they have music concerts and it's a very nice facility. They've done a tremendous amount of work to restore that building, and it gives you a sense of. You know, there were 6 Catholic parishes in Calumet, and you know, so that was just one of the Catholic churches, and it's a grand building, so it gives you just an idea how many people were here that could support, you know, this multitude of churches that were in Calumet.
I also want to recommend, it might not be directly related with the park itself, but if you ever get a chance to take one of those carriage rides through Calumet, the drivers there can point out a lot of the architectural history and just the development of the buildings there. And that's very educational, too. You kind of get a picture of, the formation of the city, you know, just from listening to the driver talk about the buildings.
Right. Well, the Park Service also has guided ranger tours through downtown Calumet during the summer. There's a schedule on our website, and of course, if you stop at the visitor center, they can tell you when the next one is going out. We have a Facebook page, if you can find your way to that. They post a lot of amazingly good content on there. Our ranger staff works on. They hit a lot of interesting topics, through the course of a year. Go there and just work your way back. You might be interested in what you find.
And that's really why I wanted to do this show, was for things like that. As a resident here, you don't always think of ways that you can take advantage of the local area. You were telling a story about those and people in New York and the Statue of Liberty before we came on. The park really needs those who live here to support it and visit the sites to make it really worth it.
Right. And speaking of the Statue of Liberty, there's a piece of it in our exhibit.
Is there?
Yes. They analyzed the copper that the statue was built out of, and they believe a fair amount of Michigan copper was actually used in its construction. So I contacted the curator there and arranged to have them lend us a piece of the statue for our exhibit to illustrate where Michigan copper ended up. So you can see a piece of the Statue of Liberty here in Calumet, Michigan.
The contribution of the copper industry many years ago was felt throughout the country. One recent commemoration that the park took place in was the commemorating the end of the Civil War that took place on Thursday with the ringing of the bells at 3:15. Why is the park and the copper heritage important to that time?
Well, a couple reasons. One, it's part of the National Park System, and the National Park System is the premier agency in this country that preserves Civil War history, everywhere from Gettysburg to Manassas to Antietam, are within the National Park System. Now, how did the Copper Country, fit in with that? Well, all those battles required artillery pieces, munitions, all of those type of things that needed copper. And the Quincy Mine supplied the Union Army the bulk of its copper through the war. So, Hancock and the Copper Country really contributed towards a Union victory by providing this very basic needed commodity that the Union Army used.
And other things, we wouldn't have we would have never came up with a telegraph service, and we wouldn't have electricity pumped into our homes if it wasn't for the copper that was provided by copper industry that many years ago.
That's right. And copper went more than just around the country. It was shipped overseas as well. Of course, the Statue of Liberty was built in France.
What kind of other initiatives do you have coming up? I know one is Find Your Park, which you're trying to encourage people to do that.
The National Park Service, the agency that takes care of the parks, was created in 1916. So we're fast approaching the 100-year anniversary of the agency that cares for the parks. For the first several years of the park system, it was kind of catch-all. The Cavalry, as a matter of fact, was in charge of Yellowstone and Yosemite for many years to keep the poachers out. President Wilson signed the law establishing the Park Service, and the parks have been added pretty regularly throughout the time since then. And the Park Service is very proud of its 100-year history and wants to celebrate that history with the American people. And so in addition to that centennial, our partner, the National Park Foundation, our philanthropic partner, has raised money to help promote the parks, to remind the American people about this great thing they have that they own in common. These are the American people's parks. This was an American idea. I guess jazz and the American National Park idea are pretty much uniquely American. Outside of that, we borrowed. But this was an American idea, and we like people to find their parks, the park that excites them. And this is more than just national parks. The Park Service thinks local parks, state parks, they're all part of an important tapestry preserving not only wild places and scenery, but history and culture. Of course, Keweenaw National Historical Park is all about history and culture.
Yeah, and I'm a history and cultural buff. I can't walk past an old building and wonder what it was before it was converted to an apartment, right. or And hearing things like in Lorium, the Spires building down there that used to be a three-level Montgomery wards, or, you know, and talking to people who are old enough to remember shopping for a suit, you know, at that building. And I can't get enough of that. I don't know if I know enough about history to compete with those who are in the local history smackdown, though, because they're pretty good.
Well, you know, and that's one of the focuses of this centennial observation is to engage youth in their parks. And so one of the things Keweenaw National Historical Park has done, this will be our 13th year of doing it, is the Local History Smackdown, which is part of our Fourth Thursday in History program. So April 23rd at the Finnish American Heritage Center will be entertained. I find it very entertaining by a it's like a local history bee. We call it the Smackdown. There'll be high school teams competing. The last one not to miss a question, the last one standing, wins a traveling trophy, which has traveled amongst the schools of the Copper Country since 2004, I think, was our first, 2003.
And I love how you do this, where it's not necessarily the Houghton team versus the Calumet school team. You know, it could be inner schools. It could be a group that you start. It could be your Boy Scout troop. I mean, it could be anything right. there to form right. a team.
Yeah, typically the teams are from a single high school, but they are multiple teams from high schools. So they're competing against each other as well. For instance, this year Dollar Bay has three teams in the competition. So, right, and they come up with clever names for their teams, and it's just a lot of fun. It lasts a couple hours. There's an intermission, and you know the kids really get into it. It's been one of the big pleasures of my time here at Keweenaw National Historical Park doing the Smackdown.
Is there still time for students to get involved in this?
Well, our registration deadline was last week, but we've extended it. We in the past had that registration deadline because we had to order T-shirts. They all get a T-shirt. But our vendors told us we have a little bit more time. So, yeah, if they want to still get involved, we'll entertain a registration yet.
All right, but you want to do that very quickly because the Smackdown is coming up. You don't want to wait till the last bit. If somebody does want to get involved, how do they do that?
They can visit our website. There's a registration form on our website. Search the directory for Smackdown.
Any other news from the park?
Well, I just want to mention again on the centennial effort in the Find Your Park, one of the exciting things, this back to youth again, is the Park Service in conjunction with other land management agencies, federal land management agencies, are going to offer, and we're still not sure how this is going to happen, fourth graders for 2016 a pass to visit the national park so they can get in with them and their families, any national park for that year, free of charge, which I think is an exciting initiative the Park Service is doing. And the park will be doing a lot of events, not a lot of events, but several events recognizing our 100-year anniversary. Also, I should mention a new superintendent has been selected for Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore, so we'll be getting our superintendent, Mike Flom, back full-time sometime in May, and that's when she'll start Laura Rodegard. So we'll be excited to have Mike back to having him just to ourselves instead of sharing him. He's been doing a lot of driving between Calumet and Munising over the last year or so.
Mike's a great guy, so you'll do well to have him back full-time.
Yep, it'll be good.
I'm talking right now with Brian Hodesky from the Keweenaw National Historical Park. Now, Brian, with parks like Isle Royal, of course, you have to wait till the summer's a lot better and there's not so much ice on Lake Superior to go there. Right. Any restrictions on that with the hours for the park? Are they going to be expanding coming up soon?
Isle Royal or?
For Keweenaw National.
Keweenaw. Yeah. Right now, our visitor center is open Thursdays through Sundays, 9 to 5. We'll go to summer hours, I believe Memorial Day weekend, though I'm not absolutely sure about that. We're having some issues getting people hired just because there's some bureaucratic stuff going on, but I think they'll have the staff on to be open 7 days a week starting Memorial Day weekend.
And you can visit that visitor center for no cost.
That's right. There's no charge to enter. And like you were saying, to spend 3 hours and not have to pay for it, that's a pretty good use of your government taxes, I think, to come visit our visitor center.
And of your time. Good use
and
of
your time. Yes.
Thank you so much for coming on today's program.
Oh, it was my pleasure, Rick.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.